that document, unless there's some objection from anybody.
It's a good start.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Berglund.
This was handed out to the conferees, and I just wanted to call people's attention to it. It's black and white. The version I have is in color. And it's a bar graph that shows the difference between giving nursing facilities a 3% COLA in the second year of the biennium compared to what they would get under the rebasing that's in the bill. And I thought it was important to hand this out to people because it's pretty even. It's pretty much the same. And I think there's been some confusion about that. At least the veto letter the governor sent indicated he thought somehow the rebasing was causing greater tails than we otherwise would have in the bill. And I think this would maybe help to dispel that if anyone has concerns about that.
Anybody have any questions about this sheet? It's a little less.
Yeah, it's a little bit less than 3% of the bill.
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair,
Representative Abler,
keep track. Who's in charge here? I'm sure the rates would vary by facility. Is that right? So there'd be winners and losers on that.
Well, my understanding is that there are not many losers, but the amount people would get would vary from. Some would have more than three, and some would have less than three.
I mean, winners and big winners, that's what I meant to say. Sure. Yeah. Everybody gets more, but some would get less more than others who
right.
get more and more.
Maybe some of the, Mr. Chairman and Representative Abel, maybe some of the ones that have gotten big increases recently wouldn't get as big an increase under this.
Any counties offhand you're thinking of?
I could let you know on that.
Actually, I think there's six facilities that don't gain with this, and we could probably take care of those with some other mechanism.
Well, that is in the language to be studied, and we have the 6-year period to do it, so, or the 4-year period to do it in, so. Mr. Chairman, then there are just a couple of amendments. The first one is an A-139 amendment. Mr. Chairman, we have handed out a little brief explanation of the amendment. I think many parts of it are technical, but I think maybe we could just make note of a few items. There is language in here that was inadvertently left out of the last version authorizing Dewar to request appropriations from the Healthcare Access Fund if the change to the definition of dependent coverage increases the cost of the state employee government insurance program. There is language here that was requested by the long-term care unions exempting employees that are covered by a collective bargaining agreement from the language setting aside part of the COLA for wage increases. There is some language in here to address concerns that continue to be expressed by the governor's office regarding the sections of the bill that deal with MFIP. There is language that deletes the prohibition on unpaid work in the bill, modifying it by expanding the circumstances under which unpaid work may be part of an MFIP participant's plan. So, in other words, all possible paid work activities would have to be exhausted before unpaid work would be used. The next section deals with the family stabilization services sanctions policy and deletes the words willful noncompliance and replaces it with a review requirement before a sanction is imposed. Then there is language here which also relates to county performance funds. The language is clarifying language and has been reviewed and approved by advocates, DHS, and county representatives. Then there is language in here also that would delete a section in the bill related to the definition of essential employee, which was also included in the governor's veto letter. I believe most of the rest of the amendment is technical in nature.
Is there any discussion of the amendments? Representative Walker.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Berglund, is your desire just to show the amendment to the House or to try to adopt this amendment, this full amendment tonight?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Walker, whatever you feel comfortable with, we were hoping we could start incorporating the language of the bill tonight since we have to bring it to the Rules Committee in the Senate tomorrow. But if you need a few minutes to look at it, I think that would be fine.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess then I would request that we take a couple minutes as House conferees. There's a couple provisions in here that I know we must discuss before we can adopt this language.
Okay. Why don't we set this one aside then? In case you need to look at others, then there's also an A-141 amendment. Mr. Chairman and members, this is language that passed the Senate in a child support bill. It's in a child support bill pending on the House floor. Folks are kind of worried that you might not get to that bill, and it has some controversy, and I guess some parts of the bill are opposed by the family law section. So people wanted to make sure that this language that inadvertently got left out of the law last year would get reinstated.
Okay, any discussion of the A-141 amendment?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bergen, this bill is doing so well, this was considered to be a safer vehicle. Is that the...
Senator Bergen.
I think people believe we at least will get to it.
So
I'll move adoption of the A-141 amendment if there's no controversy about it.
Any discussion of the A-141 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A-141 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So the A-141 amendment is adopted.
The Then there's an A-143 amendment that has been worked on by Senator Lynch. And deals with a policy part of the bill, I guess. I'll move adoption of the amendment and yield to Senator Lynch.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Lynch.
Thank you. This has to deal with Article 9, Section 14 of the bill under the diagnostic imaging facilities portion. And what this amendment does is, I think it was an unintended consequence that the language as it is currently in the bill is really rather onerous to hospitals and larger clinics. And so this is just cleaning that up a little bit and still captures the information that we're looking for. Hospital Association supports this language.
Senator Lynch, is this related to self-referrals or is this just reporting requirements for?
This is reporting requirements, and as it's currently written, the facilities, the hospitals, would need to report essentially all of that information for all of their physicians, and I know that that was not our intention.
Senator Lurie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Lynch, to page 346, line 30.
I'm going to, Senator Lurie, you're right, but
okay.
Senate counsel will explain.
Madam Chair.
Governor.
The document that you have in front of you is a conference committee report. All these amendments have been drafted to the actual vetoed Chapter 58 document. So the page and lines are not going to match with the
good
document that you have in front of you.
Well.
No. So you need the veto. This is what they were all drafted, is the actual chapter. So
could you give us any?
Representative Clark.
Chair, I guess that explains. I was trying to follow where these lines fit. And so until we have that, is that document available to us?
Mr. Chair, if I may, in the document that you probably have in front of you, page 344, and it's actually 344, line 32, if that is helpful.
Helps.
Any further discussion of this, then? That section looks
better
like
than
a lot of paperwork that would not be needed. So, any further discussion of the A-143 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The A-143 is adopted.
Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman?
Representative Clark.
I'm just thinking this first amendment that Senator Berglund gave us, it would also be helpful. I mean, this has the same kind of problem. I can't figure out. They don't match. The page numbers don't match up with this at all, so I can't figure out what we're modifying. And I'm wondering if there's a way we can have staff help us with that somehow to maybe give us the actual pages and lines. And
do you have one? It looks like they're about two pages off, so that in most of these cases they'll be two pages earlier than what the amendment says.
Mr. Chairman, otherwise we can get copies of the correct document, but it'll take a little while, about half an hour probably. Otherwise, if you have a specific question, the staff could direct you to press location in the document you do have.
Okay, sure. How would you like us to do that? Do you want us to do that at this table or individually go to the staff?
Well, why don't we take a little recess, and staff could get that document prepared. We will have discussed it previously, and we can find most of it in here.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
I have one more amendment just to offer to people, and they can look at it at the break, too. It cleans up some of the language from a DHS request about controlled substances. We could just pass that out, and people could look at that at the end. The MMA brought it forward as a concern about how it's drafted, and it's, I think it'll make people a little more content. So whether they want to do it now or later is fine with me.
Concerned about this compensation.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Abler.
Realizing we're in the fluid part of session, do you think there's some way to give an inkling for me to tell my wife what she might expect out of the next day or two, and maybe some people in the audience could be interested in that as well?
I think we're going to be in session probably till midnight tonight, and we'll be back and forth during that time here, I believe. And we have to get this bill completed as a work group tomorrow morning, seems to me. And so we'll be having a meeting probably at 8. We have to get that, we have to have it done tomorrow morning because it has to get to the Senate Rules Committee sometime tomorrow. And then to the... it has to be reported, I guess, whatever the language
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I mean,
Senator Bergman.
Mr. Chairman, you know this bill is quite thick. About half of it's policy language, I might add. Could have maybe been handled another way. But at any rate, this amendment has to be prepared, and then after the Rules Committee meets, it has to be engrossed before it can be reported to the Senate floor. So that's going to take a little time.
And Mr. Chair, just to further, so this will be put on a House file and then sent over as a message to the House, and the House will concur. And has the governor been a part of this discussion, and is a target we're going to be acting on, one that's going to move this bill forward and so we can be done for the week? Is that the expectation of the two chairs?
Well, Representative Abler.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry.
I know there's been discussions between the leadership of the House and the Senate and the governor. I'm not sure that he has precisely agreed to the targets that we have for this one.
But Madam Chair, I'm sorry, you're distracted. I just asked if the bill will pass, and I expect you've got enough votes on both sides to do this slightly smaller version again, and I was curious if the governor is looking forward to this bill getting to his desk and if to sign the bill so we can go home, or is this another effort that I see some movement on the part of the both chairs in this amendment that we're trying to move some of the matters that were there and whatever target we come up with.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Abler, you know, both during the previous conference committee process and during this process, we are doing a lot of things to address a lot of concerns the governor has. Will every single one of them get addressed? I don't know. They seem to be popping up on a daily basis, so they may not all get addressed. But clearly the bills will all be to the governor's desk before the end of the week so he can see that they all balance without a tax increase. And I think that was the major concern, as I heard it, by having the bill go individually without the education or tax bill having been processed yet.
And Mr. Chair and Madam
Representative
Abler. Senator Bergman, I'm not trying to be cute. I'm just seriously curious because we all have a big interest in this bill. And so would it be the intention of the joint two of you there and your leadership then that presenting this package, this bill to the governor, there's an education target that's been agreed upon already that this will tie into based upon There's a global target on the education bill now, is that correct?
That's my understanding.
And so those will be presented to the governor as a package within the targets that the without counting on the tax increase, is that correct?
That's my understanding.
Thank you.
And the amendment that we'll be discussing when we recess addresses many of the specific items that the governor did not like.
Thank you.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, if I can just ask Representative Abler a question about his amendment, being that it deals with the Commissioner of Human Services developing a plan, is this able to be absorbed within the agency, do you know?
Madam Chair, it's actually a little less work than what we adopted in the conference committee before. So it has to do with them, in my mind, doing their job about pharmaceuticals, and especially simply just to schedule 2 and 3s. I believe that's the intention relative to the NASPERS.
I think it's a good amendment, Mr. Yeah. Chairman, Representative Abler. I'm not criticizing the amendment. I just wanted to know if we're going to get another memo tomorrow from them about staff complement that they need for this amendment.
Mr. Chair and Senator Bergen, perhaps if you consider each memo to be just a sign of love from the department showing their their interest in you and
showering great love on us these days.
That's
well,
what I was thinking.
I will assume that if this has a fiscal, we'll hear from somebody.
I'll ask them, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the staff tells me that in order to answer the questions about where this all fits, could it be easier just to go through it right now because duplicating is closed, so it would take longer than half an hour for us to get a new documents copy.
Easier just to step through.
Staff is going to do it. White.
Mr. Chair and members, I can start going through my part. The first several pages relate to Article 2, the Children and Family Services article. Page 1, lines 2 and 3. You'll see throughout the amendment we're deleting the program because the family stabilization services should just be referred to as family stabilization services, not the family stabilization services program. So that's technical whenever you see that. Line 4 relates to Section 36 in the bill. In Article 2, and it deletes the language related to unpaid work experience. Do you want the page number? And inserts language that allows unpaid work experience under certain circumstances, whereas the original language only allowed it if the participant volunteered to be an unpaid work experience in the MFIT program. And this was in response to a concern of the governor's. Lines 1.18 through 1.20, again, that's just deleting the program.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Clark.
If you do have the pages conform with our pages, could you just give those to us as we go along?
Sure.
I'm following it so far, but as you go faster, I think it's going to be.
I'll start going slower, actually.
Okay, all right.
The next section relates to Section 38. The new language we're deleting on line 1.21, that's in Section 38. Paragraph F, the identical language is also in paragraph H, so it's not necessary in both places within the same section, so it's a technical correction to delete the language. Also, in that same section, Section 38, paragraph H, we were combining the House and Senate language, and in doing that, we had some duplicative language. That happened, too, in line 1.23, except as provided in paragraph G. doesn't make sense.
Representative Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. White, you skipped and said for the next section, and so I'm not sure if you were talking about when we got past the first couple pages.
I meant the next line of the amendment.
We're just on the next line.
Line 1.24 corrects a cross-reference. Line 1.25 is from Section 41, Subdivision 3, Paragraph C. That's line 25, 26, and 27. It's a technical correction requested by the department. The current language says that if something happens, then the person becomes an MFIP participant. Well, under Family Stabilization Services, they're already an MFIP participant, so that wasn't the right wording. So we're inserting the right wording on lines 25 through 27. And then lines 28 and 29 of page 1, that amends Section 41, Subdivision 5. And instead of a case manager being assigned within 30 days after the family begins to receive assistance, it's within 30 days after the family is determined to be eligible for family stabilization services. That was another technical correction requested by DHS. Line 30. Oh, that relates to my previous explanation. The next line, 31, is technical. It just needs an or instead of an and. Line 32 relates to Section 41, Subdivision 7, Paragraph B. That's the sanction section. And this is the explanation that Senator Berglund gave earlier. The Department of Human Services would think it would be difficult to try to define willful noncompliance if a participant, and that's the way a participant can be sanctioned. So instead, the language is on lines 33 to 36, which requires a review before the participant can be sanctioned. On page 2, lines 1 through 4, that amends Section 41, again, the Family Stabilization Services, Subdivision 8, the funding. It modifies the last sentence, and instead of the caregiver being required to meet the federal work participation rate, the department wanted clarified exactly how many hours they wanted the participant to be working. So we inserted the 87 hours for people with children under 6 and 130 for people over 6. And again, this line 5, 6, and 7 are purely technical. 8, 9, 10 through 13, deleting the program. Lines 2.14 through 2.16. We had originally repealed Subdivision 7 of 256J.626, but then we reinstated it and changed it a little bit. So I had to reinstate the cross-references to that subdivision. That's what's going on in 2.14 to 2.16. Then the way we modified that subdivision wasn't quite right, so I deleted the section. That's on Section 49, and then inserted the agreement between the advocates and the county and the DHS regarding the performance-based funds for counties related to MFIP and the work participation rate. And that new section is 2.18, all of page 3, and all of page 4 through 4.24. And it it clarifies the county performance funds. Then on page 4, line 25, that again is reinstating language related to the subdivision 7 that was originally repealed. Page 4, line 26. That deletes, and line 27, that deletes the amendment that Representative Walker had added related to the service agreements, the school readiness service agreements that the department explained was problematic. 4.28 is an amendment. It didn't get into the bill correctly. It should be non-governmental donations. And then on page 4, line 29, through page 5, line 11. These are very technical cross-reference corrections to the DHS licensing article. And then somebody else starts on 5.12.
Madam Chair, it should be page 147, line
page 5, line 12 of the amendment. On 513 and 514 is amending the quarterly hospital payment language to delete a couple of reports that are no longer needed because that is being made permanent.
Mr. Chair, can you give us the page?
Representative Clark would like to know the page.
That's on page 155, starting at line 6. Through 155, line 14.
It's my understanding that the great bulk of this is corrections from DHS and is very technical. There may be a few things in here that are we need to discuss, but I'm most of this technical stuff. If you just tell us it's technical and from DHS, that ought to move it along.
Line 27. The next one is page 184, line 29. The next one is 187, line 33. Page 188, line 1. Page 188, line 10. Page 189, line 8. Page 189.
Picking up on page 6, line 5, that's page 200, line 35, that's technical. 6.6 should be 218, line 24, that's also technical. 6.7 through 6.12, I'm sorry, 6.7 delays the changes in the MAEPD program until federal approval is granted. 6.8 through 6.12, that shows up on page 238 around line 7, adds a third exclusion from the self-directed supports option when the department determines the recipient cannot manage recipient responsibilities. Lines 613 and 614 are technical to coincide with the nursing facility rate year. Lines 615 and 616 relate to the COLA and the wage increase guaranteed all employees. It states that they must be effective on the same date. And 617 and 618 are on page 262, line 23. And they exclude from the guaranteed wage increase employees that are covered by a collective bargaining agreement. And the current language has some slightly different exclusions.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
Just since we're kind of going through it now, to that point, is that something that the employees covered by a collective bargaining agreement wanted to have in the bill? Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Two, or 620 and 621 are just technical. 622 corrects a typo. Is technical. 624 changes the year for the beginning of something. This moves up by 1 year the start of using the quality score to determine the care-related limit. DHS recommended that start in an odd-numbered year. Then repeating some language regarding COLAs through 632. Through 630.
Mr. Chair, Page 6, lines 31 through page 7, line 5, modify the group residential language that's in the bill to match the tracking. It's Article 7, Section 70 on page 284. 633 to 36 adds a moratorium exception for one of the group residential housing establishments that was funded. And then we're deleting on 7.1 and 7.3. It's on page 286 of the bill and 287, respectively. Two group residential housing establishments that weren't funded in the bill that shouldn't have been in the conference committee report. First is related to Hennepin County Native American GRH, and the second is related to St. Louis County.
Mr. Chun, you had a comment.
Mr. Chair, I think that on line 7.3, there is a little bit of confusion. My understanding now is that that section has been funded. This is a GRH supplementary rate for facilities in St. Louis County. There was some confusion with another facility. So I believe that section 75 should stay in the bill. So you could delete line 7.3.
Cross that out.
That one was not funded.
This one was.
This one here is.
It's the St. Louis Stars. That one is that one they're talking about. This one. This one is in the bill right now. This one's not. What does this one deal with? This is not the one for St. Louis and Stearns County. This is just the St. Louis County only.
Mr. Chair, this is St. Louis County only. There is.
It's not on the tracking sheet. It's being funded.
Stearns County.
St. Louis County.
No, there's separate items. This is the Stearns County. This is the St. Louis. There's someplace else. There's the other St. Louis County.
This is St. Louis and Stearns County. One is 74 and one is 75, and they are funded on the tracking.
Okay, then we'll delete.
That should be crossed out.
Mr. Chair? Then I'll have to redo the cross references, but I'll make sure 7.3 is deleted because it is funded.
Mm-hmm. Page is out.
7.6 through. 7.9, just repeat the language that occurs in other COLAs, that the increases have to take effect on the same date, and describes the employees that are exempt.
That's the problem that keeps coming up. Mr. Chair?
Representative Clark.
Maybe Senator Berglund can help me, but I'm trying to look. I thought I heard the staff say, referencing the American Indian Services one. And are you talking about the language that's on, well, it's on the top of 287 in the original conference committee report. I'm trying to understand if you deleted that in this amendment.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Yes, Representative.
And what lines is that in the page of the amendment?
That's on page line 7.1.
To what?
That's it. We delete section 72.
Madam Chair, at some point I'd like us to strike that, to amend the amendment, to strike that deletion.
To leave it in the bill?
I think, yes.
Then we would want to just delete 7.1 from the amendment.
Well, Madam Chair, that's something that's not funded, so I don't know. It's another $403,000 a year, I think.
Well, I think for now we could leave it out.
Leave it out? Okay. Yeah. 7.10 is technical. It just makes the sentence grammatically correct. 7.11 is a request from DHS. It's actually an oral amendment that was adopted that didn't get into the bill that corrects the time frame for some mental health rate increases. 7.12 relates to health. And Madam Chair, that deletes the section related to the essential employee, expanding or excluding the people. From psychopathic personalities and criminally insane.
Line 14, page 4.
Then when we get to page 7, line 31 and beyond, these are, the rest of this amendment is all amendments to riders. And I believe it all came either from DHS as technical amendments to change some wording or relocate riders from one part of the bill to another. That's why you see all this new language. This rider has been deleted in one spot, and then it's restated where you see it with the same language. So I don't think there's anything beyond that in the remainder of the amendment. Also suggestions in here from the Senate Finance Committee staff about the language and syntax in some of the riders.
Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wonder if the staff could help on page, just cut off, maybe it's nine. Yeah, page nine, line 9.21. Can you tell me the corrected page number for that? It says page 43. I'm just trying to find what that is.
That would be page 480, line 32.
480 or 89? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
I said page 480, line 32.
Any other discussion of these? Recess for a little bit. And have the House members discuss them. And Representative Abler.
Oh, you went awful quick after I stepped out for a second. Maybe that's the way to get things to move quicker, I guess, if I just leave for a minute. On line 7.12, I noticed you're inserting the representation of holding a consent. And I know the Senate, when they passed the bill, did not include that in their language. Is that the product of some negotiations or something? I think I was not here when that section was adopted originally. But I think the Senate and the Senator Moa's committee did not have that language in there in the Senate version, as I understand. Is that part of some negotiation, or did I miss something?
This was requested by the employees covered by collective bargaining agreements.
No, I think this is a record low. This is the record locator service that you can release.
Yes, that was adopted one day. I forget what day. It sort of turned into a blur, but
also this
it was
is
adopted based on a hearing that was held in the Senate.
Right. I think the Senate didn't actually. I think they took that language out, and so that must you must have taken the House language, and that was just left
we
out.
We took
is
a couple
this,
of amendments from the House,
and this was that. And Madam Chair, just one other question. I know in the we in a flurry of amendments adopted, and maybe it was covered when I was out, but an 82% loss ratio for the insurance exchange. Is that addressed at all in these amendments? Do you know?
What will happen with the health insurance exchange has not been decided.
Okay. Well, just and I, you know, we have some common thoughts on that, but. But the just maybe we didn't discuss it, but an 82% loss ratio is a ratio that can't be met by that market, and you may well know that, but just
Chairman,
to point that out.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Abler, that is a loss ratio that is met in the small group market. It was our feeling that if one agency in the state is going to sell all the individual policies and make them qualify for 125 benefits, that essentially what you're doing is collecting them all and making them into small groups, and that the exchange will end up doing a lot of work that would have been done to deal with those individual policies. So they should be able to meet the small group rate. That is, by the way, what is done in Massachusetts, which this is supposedly the model for.
Representative Abler.
Senator Berglund, I kind of get where you're going with this. But I'd just like to point out, having talked to some folks in the hallway, it's their opinion, and I'm not I just serve on the provider side. I don't serve on the insurance side of this equation. But it's their opinion that if this were to become law in that form, that it would be very difficult to issue an individual policy because the underwriting requirements would be so high that if you ever had a cold, they would be likely not to. I'm exaggerating, but if you had anything substantial, you would not be allowed to be written in a standard policy. And so just for your information, maybe you already know that, but I just was asking that question, and I'll wait for the outcome of the insurance exchange. But if it goes forward, just pointing out to you, we should get some testimony at least about how that might affect the individual market, which I know is not your intention.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Abler,
we
believe that if we're going to be garnering 125 benefits for individual policies, that much more of the dollar should be going to provide people health care and less should be going to provide insurance companies with administrative fees.
Just one final thought, if I may, Mr. Chair, and to the committee. The Massachusetts model is, at this point, not a real successful model in terms of hitting its cost targets, if anybody's been reading. So thank you.
Okay, we're going to recess for a half an hour.